To see examples of what we talked about on this episode, along with further information, go to bunchofdorks.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to
Two Dimension Podcast,
the comic book podcast
with no direction.
You just heard the song, so you know who we are. Says, I'm Don.
I'm Rook.
And the only thing imagination has to work on is remembered experience. Anyway, we're back, as I said. And Rook and I were just talking about something. And then I said, what are you doing? Stop, save it for the show. And I had asked Rook, I got some comics here. And he said, you got stuff? I said, yeah, but don't you have something you want to talk about?
And I said, yeah, absolutely. No, I haven't caught up on anything yet. Well, I'm still so far behind.
He's been reading. You know, he was talking about trying to catch up on things. And if anybody's ever listened to the show knows, Rook's a massive fan of
Walking Dead.
And as a matter of fact, I will have to say we've always talked about a lot of things, but the first 30 episodes could have been called the Walking Dead cast sometimes. We all talked about the show. Rook talked about the comic. But...
Well, would it be fair to say it was all Walking Dead, or it was like Walking Dead and Alan Moore for the first couple?
You know, that one right there hits the nail on the head, because I liked Alan Moore. I read his books. You know, speaking of that, you read the Miracle Man books. I brought them in.
Of course.
You always wanted to read them?
Yep.
And I don't know what made me think it. This is within the past 7 months. I realized that we didn't read the whole thing. There's one more issue.
Really?
Yeah. You know, after him and Kid Miracle Man fought, which was horrendous, and it ended. Okay. Well, one question I always had was, remember, he got that woman pregnant and the baby came out. And the baby could manipulate the woman. She could fly, and she could talk right away. She talked like a Harvard professor. And the mother was going through postpartum, and Miracle Man was shocked when the baby would kind of put her... She was acting like a regular baby, but the baby would kind of put her under, said, no, I kind of sedated her. She was having too much. She needed a rest. And what? And she was, you know, talking about what the woman's going through and how she was having trouble. And then finally, the baby just told Miracle Man, it says, well, that's it, I'm going to go. And the baby left. And I thought, what? And I never, well, the last issue, she comes back. And so I looked this up online. Saying that, I'm not going to buy the Eclipse issue that I missed, because I'm not willing to pay that much money for a 65-cent comic book.
Right.
But I guess I could get the Marvel, you know, Marvel started publishing them again. But I saw it online. For some reason, I just don't really like to read comics online too much. And it's really text heavy, but it basically talks about how the world, society and the world completely changed. You know, of course, after something like that. And how he did when he's fighting Kid Miracle Man, they didn't quite show a regular superhero battle. They showed some scenes like almost like a Greek god type paintings.
Yep.
And then he talked about the different stories of how he defeated him. And he says at one point, and this is my favorite one, he said that he was just about to lose and he called on help, and the ancient gods showed up and gave him their power, and he was able to defeat Kid Miracle Man. And he said there was a religion that popped up after this, and every year he gives them a small donation. And I thought, I never would have thought of this. This is all surreal. Well, basically, the little bit I read about that last issue was how people set up a fire where he defeated Kid Miracle Man, and they burned all their movies, all their comic books, all this other stuff, because, well, and that one I didn't like, but basically what they're saying was that the world was so miraculous now that they didn't need to read these old, you know, things telling you how it should have been.
Okay, yeah.
It was a reality. And then he was talking about, in his world, there's still ice cream parlors everywhere. There's still, you know, comic books and old, you know, Harry Hawson movies and stuff like that. To him, it hasn't gone away. It's still the magical place. But the world basically became a magical place, and they just weren't interested in make-believe anymore. So I don't know.
I don't think that's how it would go, but okay.
No, I don't either, but that is one thing. Alan Moore always brought up stuff that nobody thought about, and some of these things kind of have happened, you know. I mean, it's become the norm. But the baby comes back, and I'm like, well, it only took me, what, 30 years?
30 years to find out the baby came back.
Yeah, so 30 years to find out I missed an issue that I thought was all over. That's strange world we live in. Anyway, but back to The Walking Dead.
Yeah, I'm trying to catch up on it. I'm, like, way behind. You know, it's kind of nice to be able to mass read issues again.
Yeah.
But then again, it's like, son of a... I have so many to read.
Yeah.
What's really funny is in a recent issue... Like, I haven't read an issue of Walking Dead in a long time that made you go...
No.
And there was an event in a recent issue that, well, it's not recent for everybody else that's reading it, but recent for that I've read, where Michonne finds out her daughter's still alive. And...
Wow.
It was, yeah. Yeah, I mean, and it's been years. Years. And, you know, that part right there just kind of blew me away. It shocked the crap out of me. So...
And one thing, her daughter's alive. Is this the daughter after the zombie apocalypse happened, or is this the daughter before?
From before.
Oh. I didn't know she ever had a daughter.
Yeah, she had... Michonne has had kids. So, you know, the fact that her kid is still alive, it was just kind of like... It was mind-blowing in a way. So, but, you know, I haven't read much since... much past that, so I gotta get time to be able to read again. So that's I'm way behind, way behind in everything.
Well, a lot of things have been going on. You've been busy. He's been a Rook is in charge of the Baron Boosters, which is something I can't stress. Well, not anymore, but you know his son just graduated, so he's heavily involved in all the stuff going on there. And besides work and everything else you have to do.
Nope.
But
besides work, curating the collection, I laugh about that. But eventually, one day, we'll do a video tour of this house, and you guys will see the collection is the house. The house is the collection.
Yeah, I agree.
But we're also actually trying to build a wood shop in the garage. So
yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, gonna start building fun little things for ourselves.
Cool.
So, you know. It's kind of hard to find the quality furniture and things that we want.
Yeah.
And so we figured, why not just make it ourselves? So that's what we're doing now, along with fostering dogs again.
Well, that's a good thing though.
Yeah.
You know, they needed fostering. We don't need wild dogs all over Pasco County.
Yeah, problem is this one came from Hillsboro.
Oh, well. Well.
Yeah, you know, it's always something. But, you know, comic books are always there. That's the beauty of comic books is they're there waiting for you.
You know, it's funny we talk about this. This is an unthinkable issue in the past because when I was a kid... You were dying to get the next issue of something.
Mm-hmm.
And as a kid, you go to school, you know, you may even have a part-time job, but you have a lot of time waiting for issue to issue. And I still remember when Watchmen came out, basically you got the issue, you read it, you read the back matter, and you sat there and thought about it, and then you went back and read it again. And by the time you went back to the comic shop the next week, you probably read that thing about five times, trying to comprehend it. Then you go to comic shop, and you see guys talking about it, or you might be talking about it, but there was always somebody talk about every single issue of it. Well, when the movie came out, my brother said a lot of the people that's in the orchestra have read Watchmen and talk about it all the time. He didn't know what it was. So he bought the trade paperback at Target for like $12, which is a bargain. And basically, the way it reads is like if you just took the 12 issues and just put them all in order, the back matter's in between each issue. You know, it was smart. But my brother was at our house, and he read the entire trade in one sitting. And all I thought was, you know, that's a different thing. Binge reading, it was an unthinkable thing, unless you knew somebody that had all the comics.
And see, that's so funny that, because to me, I was binge reading a lot of different stuff. I mean, constant, like, graphic novels over and over and over again. And then I got to Watchmen, and everything, like, it's like time slowed down and everything stopped.
Yeah, it requires a lot.
Yeah, and I sat there reading that thing for days. Probably took a good solid week, because every time I'd turn a page, I'd read it, look at it, read it again, look at it again. You know, Watchmen's one of really a masterpiece. It really is. Of course, we've said this 100 times.
We have, and I've said this before, too. That issue with Dr. Manhattan going to Mars, mm-hmm. and he's talking about the timeline.
Yep.
That one made my brain fold inside out three times, and I'm sitting there in this little tiny apartment with my wife, and I'm reading that, and the comprehension was like, what? And I mean, when I say it was clear, it was easy to understand, but again, it was something I never thought about, nonlinear time, and I kept going back and reading that, and now, you know, I read it, and it's you don't have to think, it makes sense, but at the time, it was a concept that I've never heard of, except in science lectures in college, where I'm thinking, this guy is just taking too many Mexican mushrooms or something, you know.
But then they put it in a comic book, and you're like, okay, that's acceptable.
Absolutely. But you're reading it, and it's, the information is put forward in an easy to read way.
Yeah, it's put forward in a much different way in that comic book than it would have been in a scientific lecture in college.
But that's but the Doctor in Manhattan issue where he's on Mars, that one, to me, is still a seminal issue. I mean, if anything, because it introduced a concept that I never quite grasped, and all of a sudden I did. But I still, when I think about it, I just remember my brain folding inside out over and over and over, you know, and I'm thinking, what?
Yep.
Anyway, when I was in the Navy, we go overseas, and I asked the comic store I went to in Oklahoma if he could save the books. And they said, yeah, sure. So I had a list of the books I wanted. And once in a while, I'd pull in somewhere, and I'd find, this is when Walt Simonson was doing Thor, which is one of my favorite runs. And I remember I found one issue in Australia, and I think it was, I found one issue in Hawaii. 7 months later, I found one in Australia. So I had no idea what was going on. I didn't know who this dark elf Mechalith was that, you know, Walt Simonson introduced that, you know, basically screwed everything over. I'm like, what's happening? Well, when I get back to the United States, I go on leave, come to Oklahoma. And so I'm here for my books. The guy pulls out a box. I had, I think 10 issues of John Byrne's Fantastic Four, 10 issues of Walt Simonson's Mighty Thor, you know, 10 issues of, more than that. I had, this when George Perez and Marv Wolf was doing New Teen Titans. Then after Crisis, they started doing the Baxter series. So they had the Baxter books, which Perez was doing. Then they had the regular newsprint book for a year. It was supposed to be a year behind. So I had multiple copies of Teen Titans. And I just remember going to my parents' house and just binge reading The Living Daylights. And friends of mine, I said, yeah, I had 10 issues of Walt Simonson's story. What? Because that was another one. You read month to month, and once you read it, you just kept reading and reading it till the next month came out. You couldn't imagine having 10. I'm going to say that now you can just go buy the trade, and, you know, they're all done. You don't have to wait month to month. But binge reading was a rarity back then. You know, now it's just, that's just how it is.
Probably back then, if you were binge reading, unless you had a situation like you had, you were missing an issue here or there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, bad ones. Yeah, everybody's collection was Swiss cheese. I can't stress that. Say if you're trying to read Fantastic Four, you might find, say, issue 67, and then you wouldn't find another until issue 74. I mean, that was how the distribution was then. You go to 7-Eleven after 7-Eleven trying to find your book. And sometimes you would never... I bring this up all the time, Paul Grist. You know, the English cartoonist that did Jack Staff. John Byrne and Roger Stern was doing Captain America. That's when Baron Blood was involved and Union Jack.
Yes, all right.
Well, Paul Grist read one of those issues. He thought it was neat. Well, you know, he was in England. He never saw the other issue. He just saw the cliffhanger, you know, when Baron Blood showed up, and I think he bit Captain America.
Yep.
So Paul Grist made up his own story. You know, he filled in the blanks.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where Jack Staff came from, because I guess later he did find the John Byrne issue many, many years later, like we're talking about. And he says, wait a minute. He says it was completely different than what he came up with. But then he proposed the Union Jack story to Marvel, and they didn't want it. So he created Jack Staff and did his own. Instead of Captain America, it was Sergeant States. Instead of Union Jack, it was Jack Staff. And instead of Baron Blood, I can't remember what that guy, that character's name was. But it was, to me, greatness. I love the Jack Staff stuff far more than the Captain America stories, which I did like. But, binge reading. Okay, so you haven't really enjoyed Walking Dead all that much lately.
No, it's been kind of, I don't know, just droning.
Yeah.
And then this event happened, and it was like, oh, okay, well, now you guys piqued my interest, because now something, you know, of significance. I mean, how has her daughter been alive all this time and she didn't know? What happened that separated them exactly? Because I don't ever recall being told that. So it's going to be interesting.
I don't remember when you gave me some of the comics. I think that was the story of Michonne. It was her husband and his friend was in their apartment. I don't remember any kids. And then she got the sword because the next door neighbor had it.
Yeah.
The next door neighbor's kid had it.
Yeah.
And she always hated the sword being around, but now, you know, she took it and it was useful.
Yep.
And that's, I don't remember any kids or even
mentioned. There were kids, but I don't remember what happened to them exactly. So it's interesting. It's gonna be fun because I've got some good reading ahead of me.
Yeah.
So.
Well, in the Walking Dead's case, do you think it's it should have ended? Do you think you still got more stories or?
Well. See, here's the thing, is Kirkman has said several times now that he has a plan on how to end it.
Yeah.
He just needs to get to that point.
Yeah.
You know, so, I wonder how long it's going to take to get to that point, and how big the dollar signs are
that
are going to encourage him to stretch it out before he gets there. You know, so that's my biggest thing.
That's an issue I've always had. I'm going to say this: I love American comics. But in Japan, and I know they have long. Naruto is a really long running series. You know, I mean, there's a bunch of them. But I'm told most Japanese comics, they have a beginning, a middle, and an end. And, you know, they serialize them, and then hopefully your comic survives long enough, you know, the readership is popular enough that they let you finish the story, and then they'll put it in the trade. You know, people will read it.
Yeah.
And then later, if you have an idea for another one, say like Naruto or Hip Flask or something, not Hip Flask, One Piece.
No.
You can do more stories, you know, with those characters. But in American comics, it just goes on forever. You know, if they can keep the thing going, it never stops. And I've always kind of still looked at American comics as arcs because it depends on the creative team. Mm-hmm. You know, John Byrne, Chris Claremont, and Terry Austin's X-Men, to me, that's one of the greatest arcs I've ever read in my life. But a lot of times when the creative team changes, I don't stay on the book. I
Yeah, well, and that's... we had the same thing happen here with us for the Harley Quinn book. When the creative team changed, we stopped the book. So
yeah, it's a jarring thing. Now saying that, a lot of times I noticed that Marvel, they were doing a Silver Surfer book with Dan Slott and Mike Allred. I really liked it. Mm-hmm. Well, when they finished their run, they stopped it. I think there may be another Silver Surfer. I know Daredevil was the same thing. I can't remember the writer's name, but Chris Samnee was drawing it. Mm-hmm. And then he finally finished his, and I think they changed it to another Daredevil book, but it's a different title.
Yeah.
Well, the thing was, is if it's the same Daredevil title and the creative team changes, well, it's like sad. It's jarring when another creative team comes up. But for some strange reason in my head, if they change the book to another book with a different creative team, well, I might try it. That looks kind of interesting. You know, it's not jarring to me, which is strange. It's the same thing.
Yeah, well, for some people, it's easier, you know. I think it depends on the character. Like, if you love the character, then you're not going to mind a creative team change.
Yeah.
So if you're kind of wishy-washy on the character, even though the storyline was friggin' awesome...
Yeah.
You'll stay with the character.
See, there was times when I was younger where I did like a character. Superboy. I loved Superboy ever since I was a kid. And when I was in high school, I liked the Legion of Superheroes. That was always my favorite. But then, at one point, they changed the artist and the writer, and I just grew to just hate it. And I'd get upset because I'd buy them, because like you said, I loved it and I wanted it.
Yep.
But I don't know, after about a year and a half, I thought, why am I buying this? And I hated not getting it, but I just couldn't stand it anymore. Never bought them ever again, you know. But I don't know, with The Walking Dead, I've always wondered about it, because I remember you always talked about it, that it was an unpredictable book, which was part of the charm to it.
Absolutely.
And a lot of times in America, TV shows are the same thing. You know, I understand Japanese shows run about a year. English shows, they run for so long and stop. You know, they might bring them back, but there's a certain point that they do it and finish it. If an American TV show is popular and goes on, they carry that thing on far past its shelf life, far past its date. And next thing you know, they start doing episodes about the bookshelf and the dog and...
Yep.
They told every story they possibly could.
They have that mandatory flashback episode where the whole episode is nothing but flashbacks.
Yeah, let's remember this, wasn't this wonderful, that was scary, yeah.
Yep, exactly.
When Seinfeld ended, I was reading about it and they said, you know, this is the one time where they didn't say, look, you guys made your money, what about the crew? Keeping the show going so the crew can make more money. And they just kind of stopped it, which I guess saying that out loud sounds kind of heartless, but that's what happens. Is, you know, if the show's making money, let's keep the thing going. And again, some really good shows, next thing you know, you just grow to where you hate them because... When I was in school, I was in middle school when Happy Days first started. Popular show. And I remember watching people talk about it. It was a fun show.
Yep. It's funny. It's funny you bring this up because I was just about to make the Happy Days reference.
There was one. I was in high school. I'll never forget this because it was one of the greatest days of my life. I'm a massive Yes fan. You know, that progressive rock band. When I was in high school, they became my favorite band. And in 1979, I got tickets. Me and my friend went to the Myriad Gardens in Oklahoma City to see him. Greatest concert ever to me. And I remember I was at my friend's house, and his roommate was watching TV. Well, his roommate had the stereo on listening to Ted Nugent, but he had the TV on with no sound in his happy days. And in the middle of the living room, was there wasn't much furniture, but they had a barber chair, you know, his roommate had. And he's sitting in there watching it, and I'm, you know, waiting to go to the concert. I remember John said, "Why are you watching?" "Happy days." And it was about the parents, you know. There's no sound, I couldn't tell, but I'm just thinking, this is, you know, high school students, and they all have middle age spread, you know. By this time, every time any one character walked on, massive applause, and they all have to stop and wait, and they always have to have an opening line because yeah. They're all big stars.
Yeah.
But it was about the parents, and I'm just kind of, I didn't say anything, I'm just kind of watching it. I remember my friend said, "They've got to take that show off the air. It's got to end." Well, they told every story they possibly could. Yeah. And then when I was in college, Ron Howard left the show. They brought in another guy. They had a spinoff show. And my roommate
had a couple spinoffs.
Did they?
Yeah, there was a couple of them.
But I'm thinking, when is this show ever going to end? Talk about beating a dead horse. Mm-hmm. You know, that went on forever. But again, going back to Walking Dead, that's what I wondered about was, it'd be neat. It's a great series. It's a popular, one of the most popular comics I've ever seen in my lifetime.
Oh yeah.
And but I just wondered if he's actually gonna, you know, while it's still prevalent, is he gonna end it, or is he just gonna do a Happy Days, and by the time he does the last story, nobody cares, and everybody's glad that thing's over with.
Well, I mean, I know as far as the TV show goes, there's a lot of people that are done. They're over it. Yeah, yeah.
Do you watch it?
I'm still watching the show, just simply because I want to see how divergent it gets from the series, which I think it's done its biggest left hook turn this season. Have you seen it? Do you intend on watching it?
No, okay. No, not whatsoever.
All right, cool. Spoiler alert for you who aren't caught up to Walking Dead. the fact that they killed Carl.
Oh, Carl died?
Carl's dead.
When did they kill him?
Beginning of the season, actually.
Oh, okay, well.
So, mid-season beginning. But yeah, he's dead. Gone. So, now, Rick's great reason for being, his driving force, is gone. But everybody's like, "Oh, well, you know, Judith is still there." It's like, okay, yeah, I get that Judith is still there, but he even admits in the show that he's pretty sure he's raising his best friend's kid that he had to kill. So, you know, I mean, and this sounds horrible, don't get me wrong, people, but how much loyalty is there to that kid compared to Carl?
Oh, yeah.
You know, so.
But Carl also remembered his mother.
Yeah.
That was the big change.
Yeah. So, I don't know where they're going to go from here. They finished the Savior's arc where he defeats Negan and puts Negan basically in jail. And at the end of the episode, it's Maggie, Jesus, and Daryl all scheming against him.
Daryl's still on the show?
Daryl's still around. Yep.
I mean, good character, don't get me wrong, but I thought they
would. Yeah, no, he's still there. So now they're all plotting against Rick. So, what, you know, where do you go from here? Friends turn on each other, and you know, everybody kills everybody. I don't get it. You know, I don't know. I'm looking at the TV show like, I don't get where the hell you're going. Meanwhile, the book is taking a very different look from what I've read so far, and I'm looking forward to seeing where else it's going. But with the TV show, I'm just, it's almost like background noise at this point.
See, now, I did think, I never read the book. I read parts. I read the first trade, you know. I read some of the books that you'd passed on to me. And, you know, we talked about the show. I liked the fact that they were the same, but they were both their own animal. Different things that happened, and I thought that was interesting.
I do too, and that's one of the things that Kirkman always said. He said that he doesn't want people who have read the book to be like, "Oh, I know what's happening. Oh, I know what's happening. I don't need to watch this anymore." Yeah. So he said that right from go, right from when they first announced that it was going to be a series. But I don't know. I kind of feel like they've diverged from his purpose for being. His whole reason, I felt, was Carl. And now I just kind of feel like,
Sometimes, I really like the show. I got to stress this. When this first came on, if you listen to old episodes, we talk about it. I really, with great excitement, Al watched them. He wasn't a zombie fan, but because we talk about so much, he binge-watched them. And at one point, Al just stopped.
Yeah.
And I guess he just realized, for whatever reason, he just realized nothing's going to change. It's going to be people hopeless. But I didn't feel that way. Now, Rook and I differ on this because sometimes there are some seasons where, to me, it was just slow moving and nothing happened.
Absolutely.
I think I'm going to stop.
Yep.
But then other times, wow, a lot happened. This is picking up. I may watch it. But when we say this, key episodes that he really liked, I didn't care for, and vice versa. So, but nevertheless, when I went out of town, I made sure I was at a TV that had AMC so I could watch The Walking Dead. My wife freaks out. She doesn't like to see zombies. You know, she didn't watch it at home, but when we're on the road, she would watch it. And she saw it was going to give me nightmares. But there was one season, I was saying, I don't know. And I watched it, and it... Okay, it was enough. It was enough of a move for me to stay interested in it. I never said this out loud, but when I stopped watching, it was when Negan showed up. When they did that one cliffhanger episode where the woman's pregnant,
They're
trying to find the doctor,
yeah.
And basically, I was surprised the episode before where it seemed so easy to defeat Negan's people. And then the next episode, no matter where they went, there's this massive mob of armed people, you know, blocking the road.
Yeah.
They're going back and forth, back and forth. And I remember they switched a commercial, and the guy on the Talking Dead TV show says, well, is everybody anxious enough? Oh, yeah, I was extremely. It was just nothing but aggravation. And the show ended with Negan with all these people tied up. And
Their knees.
Yeah, he refers to Carl as a future serial killer, which was kind of true. And but then he says, you have to choose. Nobody could choose, and then finally, it ended.
Yep.
And it left me sick, not in a good way. And I just found, and that was a long episode too.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Yep.
And I just felt it was like
we all knew what was coming.
Yeah.
And to to push it off for an entire off season, rather than discuss. You know, for a whole season, oh my God, you know, he killed these characters. It just got pushed off, and it was ridiculous.
Oh, it was too much, but like I said, it was just excruciating. It didn't need to last that long, and I've never watched another one. I just decided that was it, and, I mean, not right then. I wasn't like, oh, no, but... I remember on Facebook, they were posting things that the director, you know, says, no, this is the way it was, because people are complaining. But I liked Fear of the Walking Dead. I really liked that show. I watched it and I enjoyed it. And when that season came up, it says the new Fear of the Walking Dead, and I thought, no, I think I'm finished.
Yeah.
And I found one of my best friends from college on Facebook, and he and I reconnected. And then he started talking and says, hey, I said, you watching The Walking Dead? And he was excited because Fear of the Walking Dead was coming on. And, you know, like we all were, he was really excited. And I said, yeah, I was, but I'm not anymore. And I've never watched it since. I hope it does well. I'm glad people like it, but I've had enough of it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I can certainly understand that. Especially now, there's... I don't know. There's so many other great places to get good television, or you know, Netflix. We've been watching a lot of Netflix here.
So have I.
You know, and I can binge watch a whole season of something and enjoy it, and even if it ends on a freaking cliffhanger, you know, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that with Netflix, where, you know, like a show like The Walking Dead, it takes so long to get anywhere anymore. You know, I mean, I think it was what, 2 seasons or a season and a half at the farmhouse, when in the book it was only like 2 or 3 issues, I want to say.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't remember precisely. I mean, I may be exaggerating. But God, I mean, come on. We've had, what, 2 seasons of the war between Negan and Rick? I mean...
Well, see, again, that's some of them... Sometimes it seemed like they were just slowing it down deliberately just to spread it out.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, they don't really have anything, so let's just antagonize people. Yeah.
And how many times are we going to have to watch Rick lose his stuff and then spend 5 episodes trying to get his head back into the game?
Yeah.
I mean, either you're leading or you need to get out of the way. One or the other.
Yeah.
You know, it just, I'm tired of this wishy-washy Rick Grimes. You know, you either put yourself in charge and deal with it, or you step aside and let somebody else do it.
So, yeah. Well, that's the thing. And this is, again, back to comic books. That's the thing, where sometimes you only have so much to see, and then after that you're just doing the same thing over and over again. But you're going to say that. Superhero comics, that's just how it's always been.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and once Jack Kirby left Marvel, it was basically just a... They didn't really change. They just made... It was an illusion of change. You know, yeah. They might change something by the time the issue of the story arc finishes. It goes right back the way it was. And it carries on. Well, at the same time, that was intended for an audience of a certain age. And when you got to a certain age, you just moved on, and then the next age would come in and pick it up.
Yep.
Well, the thing was, you started getting guys like us that stayed involved in it. But I don't know. I like the idea that everything would have a beginning, a middle, and an end. But at the same time, sometimes if you do that, you don't really explore some of the side stuff. You don't stretch out a series. And sometimes stretching it out can be a good thing if they have something to say. But sometimes I read some where they rush it because they only have 4 or 6 issues to tell a story, and that's it. You never find anything else about them again.
Yeah.
So I don't know. There's good and bad to it. But
yeah. And I question how long people can hold on with that show, because it's really starting to, you know, it's gotten to the jump the shark point.
Yeah, we lost focus.
Sooner or later, you're gonna get Fozzie or Fozzie. You're gonna get Rick Grimes in a leather jacket on a motorcycle jumping a shark tank.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. It's,
I don't know.
Well, let's ponder this over a music break.
Sounds good.
In the morning when I rise, rub the sleep out of my eyes, my little sidekick licks my face to say we've got a new day to chase. The one and only Anderson, one and only, one and only one, one and only Anderson, one and only Anderson. Only stands about shin high, not the world's most handsome guy, but he puts up with my vagaries. I guess I'll keep the little bag of fleas. The one and only Anderson, one and only, one and only one, one and only Anderson. Spy a rabbit on our walk, and Andy barks out his warning loud and clear, to let that bastard know that he's not welcome here.
Shut up, Andy. Andy, shut up. Andy, will you please shut up?
We play the game where I put down his foot, then spring back before I lose a hand. I teach him things, but he just doesn't understand. Except for phrases like good boy, or take a walk, or get your toy. When I tell him to come or stay, he tends to up and run away. The one and only Anderson. One and only, one and only one. One and only Anderson. One and only Anderson.
You can hear our most recent 20 episodes on iTunes. If you would like to hear our older episodes, you can find them on our blog. Just go to bunchofdorks.com and click on the Cyclops.
Your Dimension can be found on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. If you like what you hear, you can subscribe, rate, leave a review, tell a friend, or like us on Facebook. Thanks for listening.
Okay, that was Ed Wattell, the one and only Anderson. That was about his dog, anyway.
So, before we went to break, I said Fozzie instead of Fonzie, and it got us into a conversation about... There's a drawing called The Walk of Walking Dead where it's got Fozzie Bear holding a rubber chicken dressed like Rick Grimes. And, of course, that just brings up how great the Muppets were.
Yes, I mean,
they were just absolutely... Why do we not have a current Muppet show?
They've tried.
I mean, the last time... they did that Muppet show. Did you see the one where it was like a primetime sitcom?
Yeah, it was supposed to be like a reality.
Yeah, it was supposed to be like the Muppets Office. It was horrible.
Yeah, it was horrible.
Just give me the Muppets variety show with a celebrity, with a weekly celebrity like we used to do.
Right.
Don't reinvent the wheel. Stick with what worked.
Well, the thing was, that last show, when they did it, one, it wasn't written well. And I must say this. The Muppets are a visual medium. I mean, they're fantastic, you know, characters. A lot of color, a lot of fun. But it was well written. Yeah. It was funny.
Yeah.
And it always...
And while it was funny for kids, it was way funnier for adults.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the Muppet Show was meant for adults in the background.
Yeah.
So.
Well, here's the key to it. You know, the new show, they have a theater. And they'd show people in the audience, and it was all people.
Mm-hmm.
The one in the 70s, whenever they would show somebody on a stage, and they always had, what was those two guys, the old guys in the balcony?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But, and they were still on it. But I remember the Muppet Show when they'd show somebody on stage, and they'd turn around and show the theater, and the entire theater was Muppets, mm-hmm. which is impressive as it can be. Mm-hmm. If you have an actual theater full of Muppets cheering them on or making comments, I remember always being astounded by it. Well, the new show, it was just people.
Yeah.
I said, well, what's the magic of this? They tried, when Disney bought ABC, you know, they bought the Muppets before they bought ABC.
Yeah.
And before they bought, you know, Marvel Comics, before they bought Star Wars, before they bought everything under the sun. But they tried on ABC on Friday night. They had a show called Muppets Tonight. And it was the remake of the old show, like a variety show.
Yeah, I remember that one too.
They had a different character I'd never seen. It for some reason seemed like a Rastafarian kind of guy.
That character sucked.
I thought so too. But he looked kind of neat. But he didn't have a personality so much.
Yeah, he just really wasn't. I don't know.
But they showed it once, and I remember my wife and I watched it. My daughter was small, but we liked it. Okay, I thought, well, it'll pick up and get better. But then it worked. I heard somebody say, oh, yeah, somebody's just going on and on. They never showed another one. I guess they put it on the Disney Channel or something instead of ABC. I think they were having, Disney was having trouble with legal issues of the Muppets. But like I said, then they brought that big show back, tried to make something out of it, but it wasn't a good show. It wasn't a good premise. It wasn't written well. It was kind of, to me, a lazy show.
Yeah. Yeah, it really was. So, I just love the Muppets so much, you know. I mean, they're such fun characters. And, I don't know, I don't feel like they're being well used anymore.
No, I don't either. No. Speaking of which, they're playing Dark Crystal at the theater, or going to be playing Dark Crystal
theater. I saw that. That's awesome, isn't it?
Yeah, well, absolutely. You were reading the comics, you were getting the comics.
Well, I got the comics. I got the comics with the intention for Mel to read them. She never read any of them. So, I'm going to have to go and read them now. So, but it's funny, because I haven't done this in a long time. The Dark Crystal comics had two different covers.
Yeah, and you've been buying them. We talked about that.
And I literally bought two different covers each issue. And, like, I'm looking at it now going, why the hell did I do that? Especially with the fact that she didn't read them. You know? I was like, what do you mean you didn't read them? But, you know, I will say this. She's really busy at the tattoo shop, which is awesome. So, you know, that... Yeah, you can understand why she ain't got time to sit around and read comic books.
No, I have to say I don't. When I was getting out of the Navy, I went to that comic store in Oklahoma. And, like I said, whenever I went to get a comic, I was starving for the next issue. I mean, I couldn't get enough comic books. And there was a guy that came in to get his comics. You know, he was an older guy. He was in a suit and tie. You know, I guess he was selling insurance. But he came in to get them, and he seemed tired. You know, he drove up in a nice car, came out, got his comics, said hi to the owner, and had a handful of them. He says, I'm getting more comics I haven't read. I remember Secret Wars was one of them, or Secret Wars 2. And he just made a comment, says, yeah, I'm getting these, but I haven't had time to read any since, I don't know, 5-6 months. And then he got in his car and left. I mean, I say that, I understand he was tired, but I told Gary, what do you mean he's having trouble reading comics? And the guy said, oh, he's got kids.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and, you know, kids are a lot of work. You know, we can, good work, but it's still a lot of effort, you know. But even when I had a kid, every time I got a comic, I read it. I mean, yeah. Just, you know, it doesn't take long, but I still remember that guy who was like drudgery, like he's got all these comics and never had time to read. So, no, I love your wife, but I don't understand that she couldn't read them.
Well, I will tell her you said that.
Yeah, yeah, that'll go far. That'll go far. Who said this again? But, no, again, that Walking Dead comic. The Dark Crystal comic, I bought the first issue. I haven't seen the other ones, but I bought it. I was shocked at the artwork.
Yeah.
I've got the collections on my wish list. The collections are pretty nice, but looking through the books you had, that artwork never slipped. It was it's strong. It looks like the movie.
Yep.
And it has a nice style. I'm certainly getting them, and when I get them, I will be reading them.
Well, I'm waiting for the Dark Crystal 2 movie to come out. Or well, actually. Have you heard anything more on that? Is it a sequel or is it a prequel that they're doing?
Yeah, it's funny. And Mark Cherry, he listened to the show, he's talked to me about it. Again, like us, he's a big fan of it. But no, I forgot they were, what you said about the Dark Crystal 2.
Yeah, I'm actually pulling it up now to see if I can find anything recent on it. And I'm not finding anything recent on it. The Dark Crystal, 2018. How about that? Well, hit that one and see if that says anything good for us.
It'll be about the old movie in the theaters.
Yeah, probably. The Dark Crystal returns to theaters. The Dark Crystal Age of Resistance TV series?
Okay, that one could be cool.
That should be interesting.
What's it going to be on?
I don't know. I'll tell you when the slow piece of crap pulls it up. Yeah, it's funny. I keep getting told by one of my friends I need to add RAM to this computer, and I just haven't gotten around to it. So. You know, and of all the Pop figures, I'm surprised we don't have that complete set. We don't have the complete Dark Crystal set of Pop figures around here.
A guy at work was showing me them. They had a Dark Crystal action figures. Mm-hmm. I guess that's from the Pop. They look kind of neat.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They had the different creatures and stuff.
Wow, this thing is just really playing the pig right now.
I've never heard that, playing the pig. Oh, while we're waiting for that sidebar, have you ever read the Captain Confederacy issues you bought?
I did.
What
do
you think?
I found it far more interesting than I anticipated it being.
That's, again, I've never read them, and I just see it, you know, in advertisements in the 80s, and I thought, or maybe in the 90s, but I thought, oh, that's stupid.
Yeah.
But on around 11 o'clock comics, one of the guys was talking about that.
Really?
Yeah, and when I say this, these guys are all in New York and Pennsylvania, so they're Yankees. But, I mean, the guy talked about it with great enthusiasm and talked, and I thought, well, there was more to this comic than what I thought. I thought it was going to be some superhero parody thing.
Yeah, it was interesting because what I ended up finding with the few minor issues that I had is that Captain Confederacy was not, he was propaganda.
Yeah.
Pure and total propaganda. And, you know, it wasn't a matter of, you know, I'm sure everybody probably looked at it and went, oh my God, somebody like Durka Durka not wanting Civil War to have ended and stuff like that. No, it totally actually went the opposite way. It talked about the problems with there being a separated United States.
Right.
You know, and it talked about what, you know, all the things that were wrong with the Confederacy, and then you find some of the things wrong with the Union as well in the book. So if I can ever find more of them, I'd love to finish reading them out and finish the storyline, because he basically tries to defect from the Confederacy. So
okay, I wasn't expecting that.
I wasn't either.
Because the guy on 11 o'clock comics was talking about it. I said, well, that's something that was completely opposite of what I would have thought. I honestly just thought it was going to be a bad superhero story. You know, like a Southern Captain America.
Yeah. You
know? Yeah. I just thought it would be a typical, you know, superhero comic done by somebody that loves comics and wasn't really good enough to be in an industry. I mean, I'm not trying to be ugly, but
I like Captain America, but he's just too ethnically diverse for
me. Well, not only that, but I mean, you know, say the guy's proud of being in the South and thought, you know, I'd like my own character for it. I mean, that's but I mean, it was an idea behind it that was completely different. And I've never seen those in back issue bins. I mean, even high price, but I've never seen the issues in real life until that day. That was the greatest dollar box day I think I ever went through anywhere.
Yeah, that was some good stuff that day.
Well, it's the Dark Crystal.
As we were talking, no, it did finally load. It's going to be a 10-part television series that is a prequel to the Dark Crystal.
I wonder if this is going to tell how those people split.
Yep, apparently this is the period lasting 1,000 years, beginning with the Great Conjuration that split up the Yerskex, which was the Skeksis and those guys.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Right.
All right. Do they say what it's going to be?
Doesn't say what where it's going to be shown on. Unfortunately.
See, that's the thing. I mean, I think that's awesome, but I don't have all those other channels, nor do I have any attention.
Yeah.
And, you know, a friend of mine, when Star Trek Discovery came out, I watched the first one on CBS. I love Star Trek.
Yeah, but I'm not getting Hulu. I'm just not.
I thought that was on a CBS All Access.
Oh, was it? I thought it was on Hulu. We tried Hulu for like 5 minutes here, and we hated it. Everything we found on Hulu was like, oh, yeah, this is on Hulu, but you have to pay money to watch it. Oh, this is on Hulu too, but you have to pay more money on top of the Hulu. So on top of the Hulu
Oh, they have different tiers on Hulu?
Yeah, on top of what you're already paying to be on Hulu, you had to pay more money to get the whole season of something available to you.
Mm.
I was like, I don't think so.
You see, they showed the first episode of Star Trek Discovery on CBS, which was cool.
Yeah.
And my wife and I watched it. You know, I like I said, if it's Star Trek, I want to watch it. But then all the other episodes was on CBS All Access.
Yeah.
And then a friend of mine I worked with, you know, is like me. Well, I guess not like me, because he got CBS All Access. And he said he couldn't believe I wasn't watching it. And I said, well, I'd watch if it's on TV. I'm not going to pay him. He goes, it's just $5.95 a month. I said, yeah, but how many channels are you getting now? You know, I mean, you know, a lot of people have Netflix because they got things on it. They get Hulu because they got things on it. They got CBS All Access. They got the Bus Scratcher Network. I mean, they got the Nose Picking Channel. I mean, you're paying a lot of money for all this stuff. And I'm thinking, you know, it's one, I don't really have a lot of time to watch that much TV. And so I haven't watched any of them. But the Legends of the Dark Crystal could be cool, but
yeah.
I wonder if it's going to be on something I'm going to have access to.
I don't know. I tell you, that's one of the big pains is that, you know, you get interested in something and it only accessible on, you know, Hulu, or only accessible on Netflix.
Or HBO, or
you know, like Westworld. Westworld's fantastic.
Now, Dallas, the last time Dallas was on the show, was carrying on about that.
Oh, my God, Westworld. Well, you remember the original Westworld movie.
And Future World.
Yeah, right. So, it just expands on all of that. And, I mean, it is brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. So, I can't say enough good stuff, but I feel bad for people who don't have HBO, because, I mean, that's the only place to get it.
Yeah.
That's it. So,
yeah, is HBO the one they had that show Band of Brothers?
Yep.
And Curb Your Enthusiasm, the Larry David Show.
Curb Your Enthusiasm, Band of Brothers. There's so many good series that
was,
HBO's done.
Was Entourage an HBO
yep.
series?
Entourage
See,
was.
What's funny was here locally, there's a channel called Channel 32, which was one of the UHF channels, and it's remained a mom and pop kind of channel. I don't know, I haven't seen it in a long time, but on Friday nights, they used to show, they show Monk, which is a USA show,
right,
on Friday nights, and they show Entourage. They show one episode of that, and they show one or two episodes of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have HBO, so I never saw these. Good shows. And then, I don't know what channel it was, but on Saturdays, they'd show Band of Brothers. And, I mean, I didn't watch it religiously, but when I had a chance to watch it, man, this is a really, 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 really good show.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess this is years after these shows were on HBO. I guess they're still on HBO, but I don't know. After years, release it and show it for the unwashed masses like myself to watch it. You know?
Right? That would be nice, wouldn't it?
You know, I'm not going to pay all this money for a channel that I have to go through all these hoops to load on my TV and watch. It's not fun. Anyway. All right. Well, while we're on this, I do want to talk about this is a comic I never heard of in a million years. Scott Connor sent it to me. And Kong Crew. Like Scott, I'm a massive fan of the original King Kong movie from the 30s. Where the Willis O'Brien animated stop-motion King Kong.
Mm-hmm.
If you've never seen the original King Kong, the black and white one, find it. Rent it. If it's on Netflix or Hulu.
Yeah. Yeah, it's beautiful. Anybody who likes stop-motion animation,
yeah.
I mean, you got to watch that.
And one, it's a great movie. I mean, it's not a stop-motion movie, even though it's
right.
got great stop. It's a great, great movie.
Yeah, it's not. It's not a stop-motion movie, but it has that in it. And
yeah.
Yeah.
And it's breathtaking. And
yeah.
They talk about what the audience went through when they saw that movie for the first time in the 30s and the wonderment of it. But now I will say, one of my favorite times of my life, it was in 1971. And I don't know why that summer, anytime I saw a movie in the paper or advertised on TV, I'd ask to see it. as I did my whole life. But for some reason that summer, my parents said, yeah, let's go. And they were showing King Kong, the original one, uncut for the first time since, I guess, when it was first released, at the drive-in movie theater in Oklahoma City. And my parents said, yeah, we saw Reptilicus before that, and we saw King Kong. I can't remember what I watched after it. One of the best times I ever saw, but that movie starts out slow. When I'm watching, I'm thinking, oh, this is it. I don't know if I can sit through this. Well, you know, after about the first 10 minutes, next thing you know, the movie just starts flying. Anyway, the Kong crew, I, for some reason, was under the impression this is a European, you know, artist. But basically, in the movie, you know, the planes shoot King Kong down off the Empire State Building.
Right.
And it ends, and the guy jumps up and says, it was Beauty that killed the Beast, and, you know, then dun-dun-dun, they show the end credits, and that was the end of the film. And people in the theater were crying because King Kong died. In this one, the planes didn't beat him. He beat the planes, and he took over Manhattan Island.
Yeah, I'm seeing that.
I never would have thought of that in a million years, and it is so awesome.
Yeah.
They have a plane crew that goes in there and checks, but they can't get too close. There's dinosaurs in it. It's like the island they found King Kong in that original movie.
He basically turns the island into Skull Island.
Yeah, and I never would have thought of this. I never would have thought, like we were talking about last episode, Superman not needing to use the bathroom. I think of these things. Why did I ever think of this? But the military has the Lincoln Tunnel barricaded. They have all these points. People aren't allowed in. Again, there's dinosaurs in the place. There's this and that. There's wrecked cars. It's basically Manhattan, even though it's Skull Island, some of it is exactly the way it was that night when King Kong took over Manhattan. And I read the thing. It's like Rocketeer. It's like Dan Dare. It's like every kind of comic I've ever read that I love, The Shadow. It's like all of that rolled into one with King Kong, the greatest big monster in the world. And, you know, my nephews, when I married my wife, I went from having a younger brother 5 years younger than me to having 23 nieces and nephews. And all of a sudden, I'm driving my car, and my sister-in-law and her two sons are in the back, and we stopped by the ocean. And my sister-in-law was saying to my nephew, he says, stop, you're getting mud all over Uncle's car. And I'm imagining this old Filipino, you know, driving a car, and I thought, wait a minute, this is my car. Oh, I'm Uncle. Wow, that's a first. And anyway, these two nephews of mine, they were, you know, 6 and 8, Godzilla fanatics. They had videotapes, you know, that they recorded off television. Anytime they show Planet of the Dinosaurs or any of these shows, they'd ask their dad if they could record it on a tape. And I told these boys, do you know that the King Kong and Godzilla fought in the movie? What? Yeah, that's my favorite one. And they didn't believe me. And I said, no, it is. Well, 2 years later, you know, Myrna and I moved here to Florida, and then we go back to California. And I asked them, I said, you ever see King Kong? Yeah, we saw it. And that's how they acted. And I said, you didn't like it? No. Well, a couple of years ago, I was in California. I was talking to my, you know, the youngest nephew. And we still talk about Godzilla. I mean, it never goes away, you know. But somehow it came up about King Kong versus Godzilla. And I said, I was thinking you guys liked it, you didn't. And my nephew, who's your age, he looked at me and he goes, Godzilla lost. And he looked like the 6-year-old boy nephew that I had way back. You know, Godzilla. So King Kong beat Godzilla. No, it was a stalemate. Godzilla didn't lose. But I love King Kong. They talk about him in this issue, but he never actually shows up.
Yeah, you see, like his eye.
And that's scary.
Yeah.
I'm reading this thing. Scott told me about it again. He told me about it. I thought, well, that is neat.
Can I see that book real quick?
Of course.
Let me see something I just noticed.
But Scott kept sending me stuff about it. Well, then he finally said he was going to order it, and he said the shipping was far beyond measurement. And but he got them anyway. I didn't know he was getting one for me. Thank you very much, Scott. But I guess at one point, the publisher saw and said, you know, this is too much for shipping. So they knocked it down to a bare minimum, which, you know, Scott was thankful for. I was shocked when I got mine in the mail. But I read it, and all I thought was, you talk about cliffhangers, this and finishes. And I'm like, well, now what? And I said, where's the next issue coming out? When I say this, this to me looks like a once-a-year comic. I mean, the guy's put so much work in it. It has a...
Yeah, I'm trying to find out any more information, but one thing I did just find is that it appears there's a limited print of these.
Yeah, I think he's got one of those, I don't know if it's a Patreon, GoFundMe, what's the other one?
I don't know, I don't pay attention to any.
Well, you know, those other, you can finance the book,
Kickstarter.
Kickstarter. He's got something like, or had something like, I don't know if he still does, but yeah, they got different packages. I just got the regular comic book. That's good enough for me. Fantastic package. And I mean, all the way through, there's no filler. He's got pages like a recruitment poster.
Yeah.
He's got, which is awesome. He's got a map of the Manhattan jungle. And he's got the whole thing drawn out. It's like if the 30s never ended.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't say enough about this thing. It's a great comic. When he finishes, yeah, this one right here with the Brooklyn Bridge is just worth the price of admission right there.
Yeah, that's some beautiful, beautiful artwork in there.
And the artwork is just breathtaking. It reminds me of The Rocketeer. It reminds me of Michael Kaluta. It reminds me of Mark Schultz. Saying that, this person is his own man. I mean, he's got his own style. It's just everything I love is in this. And the writing is just as strong as the artwork. If the guy is able to finish this story and they put out a mass tomb, it's well worth it. It's well worth the time and reading. Again, thank you very much, Scott.
Yeah, I mean, it's a brilliant book. I mean, quick synopsis here off of their website. Here we are in 1947, 14 years after the victory of Kong. Manhattan has been evacuated. The island has become a no-go zone, closely watched over by the Kong crew. Yeah, this is a pretty impressive project going on.
Yeah, but the whole issue all the way through is just packed. Yeah. I mean, it's the story's there, all the incidental artwork... Yeah, and who had ever, I never thought of that, King Kong taking over Manhattan.
Apparently he did.
Well.
So.
But I'm sure Superman still hates bathrooms. All right, well, I think that's going to end. One thing I was going to bring up, have you seen the covers? Every time we post a new episode, the comic covers?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I did so many of them. Dallas was going to take over and do some. He did three of them, and then his life, you know, got really busy. Roddy Frey has been doing them, and he's going to continue to do them for a while.
Thank you, Roddy.
Roddy made a mistake in asking me one time, or not asking me. He says he was enjoying seeing the covers, and he said... I've always wanted to do a project like that, where you'd have a spaceman, you know, like a Flash Gordon character, you'd have like a Shadow character, you'd have you know, Superman character. And he said he always wanted to do that. And he said, well, if you did yours, they'd be completely different than mine. You know, you're a different person. Well, when Dallas got busy, I told Roddy, I says, you know, you mentioned that. Would you be interested in doing some? So he has been. If you're not on the Facebook group, that's fine. If you go to our site, under the banner, we have a page, and it's called Comic Covers, and I have all the covers that we posted, and Roddy's done three of them so far. He's got more down the pipe, but I was going to say, if any of you are interested in doing a cover, feel free to do it, and Roddy's been doing everything on it. All I do is put the little logo, and I put the show number on it, and since it's a comic cover, we have a price. Now, the way I did it on mine, I've been doing them on Roddy's. It started out with a 10-cent price, and the next issue is 12 cents. The next issue is 15 cents, 20, 25, you got, till it gets up to $3.99. And then you know, I rotated them. The Dallas is, for some bizarre reason, I just made each one of his a dollar. The reason why I did that was because ElfQuest and Cerebus the Aardvark were coming out in the 70s, and both of them were creator-owned series, and they were both a dollar. So I treated Dallas as one of those. Roddy's, I did the same thing as mine, 10 cents, 12 cents, but I add those myself on it. If you want to do one, Dallas asked for the template. Mine, it was all just one position for the male and females. And I told Dallas, you don't have to follow that. And he said, well, no, I like the consistency. Roddy did the same thing. And I told Roddy, you don't have to follow it. Well, I like the consistency. And that's fine. Saying that, some of them down the pike, Roddy has, you know, decided to change something here and there. If you want to do one, your own character, I guess if you want to do somebody else's character, that's more than fine as well. And you don't have to follow the format we did. And if you're a photographer like Rook, feel free to take some pictures of people to use as covers. It's just nice. Somebody asked a long time ago if we could announce on Facebook when a new, you know, episodes comes up. I'm not a text person. I like to have some kind of image, so that's why we started doing these. But and if you do some, they'll end up on the side under that page at some point. So just something to put in your ear if you'd like to try it out. Anything else you got?
You can follow me on Instagram at Rook Murphy. Definitely go and join the Facebook group. We'll putting updates up there for you guys.
Yeah, and somebody posted on Facebook. They just joined the group, but they're doing they have a YouTube channel. He's done 9 episodes so far, but basically he's taking the Marvel comics. They're worth watching. When you're looking at the video, he's basically just comic covers slide across, but he's treating it like if it was the news and talking about Spider-Man.
Okay.
And it's I have to admit, it's great fun. I didn't know he was doing them. He posted one, and then when he posted the second one, he talked about it a little bit. But, I mean, he's got, you know, somebody referring to Spider-Man. This guy, yeah, so I'm coming on the one. I don't know what's going on here, you know. And I've seen 2 of them, and I really enjoyed them. Anyway, it's on the Facebook group. I'll post that on this episode's post as well. And I guess that's all we got. This is in the meantime.
Read more comics.